just begun.
Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm Brother Hammett, the senior pastor, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. In just a few moments, Brother Nick will continue our Becoming series as we consider how we use our gifts together in the church to do God's work in the world. I invite you to register your attendance by scanning the QR code down on the bottom of your screen. You can also let us know that you're here by simply commenting in the chat. Because of the COVID-19 surge we're experiencing, Asbury has suspended indoor activities and worship. All of us are weary after almost 2 years of this, and being separated takes a toll on our psyche. So I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I'm hopeful that this time we won't be closed as long as we've had to before. We continue to monitor the situation week to week, and so please watch the Thursday Things You Need to Know email for the latest information. You may also be aware that Arkansas has had record-setting hospitalizations this week, and so we are praying for our healthcare professionals. If you work in healthcare and you'd like for us to pray for you or your team by name, please leave a comment in the chat and we would be glad to do that. Would you pray with me? Giving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for being with us today. Though we are parted from one another physically, we know that you unite us through the power of your Holy Spirit as one body in Christ. God, we must confess that so often we have allowed the differences that we have between one another to be causes of division and even hatred and enmity. But God, we know that you created us differently so that we could work together using our diverse gifts to be stronger together. And so we pray that you will help us to see our differences as a source of strength rather than division. God, we know that so many folks are sick right now. So many people are in need of healing. God, we also know that our healthcare workers are overwhelmed and exhausted. And so we pray for each and every one of them. And we pray for those who are ill or in special need of your love right now in our own church family. Specifically, we pray for Clifford Smith, June Glazier, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Patty Shoemaker, Noah Logan, Megan Arnold, Lanny Langley, Sean McNerlin, Dave Volson, Hugh Roberts and family on the death of his sister, Dottie Roberts Gilliland, and the family of Tom Evans. God, we pray for all of these and for those whom we name before you in our hearts. We pray that you will give them the grace that they need to face what lies ahead. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I'd like to introduce Nicole Rose, our Director of Children and Young Families, as she shares a special message with our children.
Good morning, Asbury. I'm Nicole Rose. I am the children's director here at Asbury, and I want us to have a little fun together this morning. So I'd like all my kids to come up, get close to whatever you're watching on, and join us for a fun little dance that we're going to have a chat about when we're finished.
Your left arm in and shake it all about. Do the hokey pokey.
hope that you enjoy doing the Hokey Pokey. It is a great dance. And actually, fun fact, Brother Hammett told us not too long ago that that was his favorite dance to do. And so I really hope Brother Hammett joined us for our Hokey Pokey this morning. I want to talk to you about how the Hokey Pokey reminds us of the body of Christ. So in the Hokey Pokey, the words say, put your left hand in, put your left hand out, put your right foot in, your right foot out. So let's say it is, the song says to put your left hand in, and your left hand is like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing my job. The right foot can do that. Well, that's not going to work. Or what if the song says, put your whole self in, take your whole self out. And then your head is like, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do it. Well, your head is part of your whole self, so your head has to do it. And so even though the Hokey Pokey is kind of silly and it's just a fun dance that we do, it is kind of a good picture of the parts that make up our church. And so the Bible says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So every person is a very important part of our church, just like every body part is an important part to the whole body. And so together, we make up what is called the body of Christ. And you've probably heard that on Communion Sunday. We all have special gifts that are important to God and His church, and some of us have been given the gift to be a pastor or a teacher. Others have been given the gift of healing or helping others or leading people. And so I want you to think again this week, just like you thought about your toolbox last week, I want you to think about maybe what is the gift that you have been given that you can use to give back to God. Maybe you have the gift of being creative, or maybe you have the gift of being a great listener, or maybe it's something totally different. We all have our own unique gifts, and we all want to use those for God. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for giving us each special and unique gifts. Help us to use these gifts to glorify you and to do your work. We love you. Amen. I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next Sunday.
Thank you so much, Nicole. You know, God shares with us so abundantly. God gives us life, breath, our spiritual gifts. We're going to see today that amazing things happen when we share God's gifts with one another in our community. Now, one of the ways that we do that is by sharing our financial gifts. You may support Asbury's Ministries online by texting Asbury UMC to 73256 or by donating on our website. You can also mail a check to us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in Little Rock. Scan the QR code on the screen and you can find out more about those options. And now I invite you to listen as Caleb and Diana share a beautiful song, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Jesus sound.
Amen. Today we have a couple of scripture lessons. The first one is from Romans 12. I'll be reading 4 through 6a and then verses 10 through 11. Paul writes, "We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. Love each other like the members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord." And now our second passage is from 1 Corinthians 12. I'll be reading verses 12 through 31a. Paul says again, "Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all of the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand,' does that mean it's not part of the body? Or if the ear says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye,' does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like He wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So, the eye can't say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, the ability to help others, leadership skills, different kinds of tongues. All aren't apostles, are they? All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of healing, do they? All don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." And now here's Brother Nick with today's message.
Thank you, Brother Hammett. Friends, it is a blessing to be with you this morning as we continue our Becoming series, recognizing that God's work in and through us is constant and unending. Last week, Brother Hammett spoke about the spiritual gifts that reside in us all, a gift imparted upon us by God at our creation, a tool that we are able to access in our earthly ministry. This is a good time to remind you that our church has a spiritual gifts inventory available, which you can access through the link found at the bottom of the screen. Once you have completed it, Brother Hammett and I welcome the opportunity to discuss with you these spiritual gifts and see how we can put your gift to work in the mission and ministry of Asbury. This week, we'll shift our focus slightly and look at how our individual gifts work together to create a cooperative, kingdom-building community. Before we get started, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this day, for this beautiful opportunity to gather to hear your word proclaimed. We ask that in this time, God, you are with us, that the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit is transformative for us as we hear your call and your will in our lives. Bring us together to be a stronger community than we ever have been, to experience the love you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may then take that love out into the community. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen. One windy March day, the mayor of a small town decided to take a stroll across the park. During his stroll, he ran into a small boy who was flying the biggest and most beautiful kite he had ever seen. It soared high and gently across the sky, so much, though, that the mayor was sure it could be seen in the next town over. Now, this little town didn't have very many things that were spectacular, so the mayor decided to award a key to the city to the one responsible for such a beautiful thing. "Who is responsible for flying this kite?" the mayor asked. "I am," said the little boy, holding with all his might to the beautiful big kite. He said, "I made this huge kite myself with my own hands. I painted all of the colorful pictures on it, and I fly it." "No, I am," said the wind. "It is my breeze that keeps it in the air, flying so big and beautiful. Unless I blow on it, it will not fly at all. I fly the kite." "Not so," claimed the kite's tail. "I make it sail and give it stability against the wind's blowing gusts. Without me, the kite would spin out of control, and not even the boy could save it from crashing to the earth. Therefore, I fly the kite." So who really flies the kite? While it is clear that the boy, the wind, and the tail of the kite all have a claim, the truth is, all three are required to make the kite fly. All three must work together to create something beautiful. Now, I know this is a silly illustration, but it paints a perfect picture of what God calls us to be in this life. Many parts working together in community to care for one another and to bring others to know Jesus Christ. In this letter, Paul is dealing with a multitude of issues at the church in Corinth. Corinth is a community that is riddled with political strife, battles over cultural values, social and economic disparities, and class warfare. And these divisions had found their way into the church. The church had broken into disputing factions to the point where the people were following preachers based on their own philosophical worldview, based on what they wanted to hear. Sound familiar? The more things change, the more they stay the same. Some were viewing their spiritual gifts as more valuable or more superior than others. Paul, as the leader of the church, had a mess on his hands. It is never easy to bring people from different backgrounds, belief systems, worldviews, and customs together. In our very basic of instincts, we are tribal by nature. We want to belong, and too often, it is most comfortable to spend our time with those who think, act, and yes, even look the same as us. But Paul insists on something richer. Since the church is intended to be a preview of the final reconciliation of all things that God promises, Paul calls the church to start acting that way. Thus, diversity within the church is not a problem to be avoided, solved, or managed, but a gift of God's grace and a sign of the Spirit at work. The differing gifts of the Spirit form us in such a way that we do, and indeed must, belong to one another. Paul's claims find their foundation in baptism. In baptism, we experience the Spirit of God at work to overcome the divisions that the powers of this world nurture and on which they depend. By pointing to the church's common experience of God's grace in baptism, Paul makes clear that we all share the same water, the same promise, the same Spirit, and thus all are equally part of the same body. It will be helpful to ask what, in our context, corresponds to the culturally divided pairs that Paul mentions here in verse 13. Where do we find the human polarities now, overcome in baptism, and brought to surprising and profound unity in Christ? While it is unlikely that fights over spiritual gifts will cause trouble in most congregations, ethnic, social, and economic distinctions more frequently do. Perhaps even more challenging for us is the diversity of belief and how our faith is to be lived out. In such disagreements, though, we find ourselves called to recognize that diversity of gifts helps us to keep asking where God is leading us today instead of trapping ourselves in the same old assumptions. Holy diversity is an important remedy for our tendency towards complacency. The image of the body as a communal reality is an excellent metaphor by Paul. Our bodies are amazing vessels, comprised of so many cells and organs that all work in harmony to keep us alive, to keep our bodies performing at its best possible level. We don't see our feet as less important than our hands. We don't see our ears as less important than our eyes. We know that each part is necessary for us to move about and live our lives. It is the same with the body of Christ. All the parts, each having an individual function, work together as one to participate in the kingdom-building efforts we are called to in this life. In the Corinthian church, some were seen as strong, some were seen as weak. The weak were in fact being despised and shamed by some of the others. Paul references this in chapter 11, verse 22. Paul calls the church to a better way of life together. Differences within the church are astonishingly something that God has arranged intentionally. Thus, the diversity within the church community is not something to be tolerated or regretted or manipulated for one's own advantage, but something to be received as the gift that it is. Paul's argument implies that not only diversity, but unity in that diversity is a reality without which the church cannot live. Last summer, I had the wonderful opportunity to accompany our youth and some of our adult leaders on a mission trip to the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. With it being the summer of 2021, we had plenty of reasons not to go. It meant 11 hours one way, crammed into a bus, sleeping on the floor of a church for a week, early mornings and late nights, very hot and uncomfortable weather, and a pandemic that I am sure was causing just as much trouble in North Carolina as it was in Arkansas. There are a multitude of reasons why not to take the trip, to wait until things were safer or it was more convenient. For some reason, and maybe it's just pure Asbury luck, when we arrived, we were given the hardest task of any group, to scrape and paint a house. The house we had to scrape off was covered in lead paint, which required us to wear protective suits and face coverings, including masks, in temperatures nearing 100 degrees. It was gross, it was uncomfortable, it was hard, but it was also beautiful, and let me tell you why. As the week went on, I saw the gifts of our students and adult chaperones on full display. I saw moments of evangelism, of kindness, of generosity, of faithfulness and fellowship. I also saw determination and love. The mission trip was supposed to end on a Friday, and I heard one of the students say, "We are not leaving until this job is done." We were ready to stay as long as necessary to finish the mission, regardless of what troubles or obstacles came our way. We chose what was inconvenient, what was uncomfortable, to fulfill the mission God had called us to in that moment. And the end result was a fresh, beautiful home for our new friend, Mr. David, and a transformative experience for members of our Asbury family, where their spiritual gifts were enacted and mixed with a little determination and courage, created something beautiful. There are always going to be things in our lives that are inconvenient, things that make us uncomfortable. There will always be debates in the church over policy and theology. There are going to be sermons and songs we like and sermons and songs we don't like. But here is what is never changing. God's call in our lives, both in the individual spiritual gifts we hold and the community we are called to deploy them in. It is not a matter of convenience or perfect timing. If we wait for that, it will never come. God calls us to enact our gifts and to work in community today, in whatever way we can. As I think back to the kite story, some of us are kite builders. Some of us are the wind that lifts the kite up. Some of us are the tail that helps the kite move beautifully. We all have a part to play in bringing the gospel message of Christ to the world. Last week, Brother Hammett said that God's call in our life is where our God-given gifts meet human need. As a church community, we are called to see where that human need is today and to move forward as one body of love, with all parts working in harmony to bring God's message of hope and salvation through Jesus Christ to all who need to hear it, see it, and experience it. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing, power and majesty, praise. Mountains bow down and
thank you, Caleb and Diana. And thanks, Nick, for such a wonderful message. And thanks to you for being here. I'm so glad you were with us. Over the last couple of weeks, we've seen that God gifts us uniquely and that we share those gifts, working together to accomplish God's mission in the world. Next Sunday, I'll be back to share how God calls the church to be a community of love. So I invite you to come back for that. If this service blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else by sharing it on your Facebook page or by sending someone the link. I also encourage you, especially since we're away from one another right now, that if you know of someone who you haven't heard from in a while, be sure and give them a call, check on them, send them a card. And now would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.